Welcome to Watching Bloomington with your host, Barry Lesso. Each week, B97 and Hoosier Country bring you stories about nonprofit agencies helping people in our area. Stay informed, stay involved, and stay tuned.
Welcome to Watching Bloomington. Each week, we have a chance to talk with different community leaders who help make this a better place to live. And we have two friends with us this morning. We have Daniel Bruce, who's a current board member with the Arts Alliance of Greater Bloomington, and also the president of the Arts Alliance, Adam Nass, who's also the exec director of Artisan Alley. Good morning.
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 So, Adam, why don't you start off, tell us a little bit about what is the Arts Alliance of Greater Bloomington?
The Arts Alliance was formed after the closing of the BAAC to create another arts advocacy group that could help, you know, act as a patron to the arts. And so it was formed by bringing together different artist types so that we could have a fully diverse representation of visual artists and dancing artists, writers. And I joined soon after it was formed, I believe in like 2011. I was on the board for a couple of years before switching off and starting Artisan Alley. But over the years, it's definitely changed, you know, and I know one of the things that we're going to be talking about today is that we've recently acquired a brick and mortar space. And so we're going to use that as kind of our art center in the mall. We'll get into that. It's been, a roller coaster, as is any nonprofit. Mm-hmm. But I'm really excited at the prospect of where we're going right now. I feel like, we're moving in a direction. We're laying down a good foundation and really building something that I think will last in this community.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel that having, an arts alliance helps all the different artists? You mentioned the different strands or guilds, and how does that all help everybody?
Well, when I kind of started getting into the art world, I realized that there was competition, and so one of the things I really like about the Arts Alliance and Artisan Alley is neither one of them really focus on one specific art. And then it is fine, that there are groups out there, groups of people that focus on one thing. There's like a photography club, there's a watercolor club, and that's fine. What I really like, what I think separates these organizations is the fact that they are collaborative in nature because they bring so many different disciplines into the same room, into the same table. And it allows people, I think, to play a little bit more creatively because not everybody falls into a single category. Some people dabble in multiple mediums, and mm-hmm. I think it not only does it enable you to broaden your spectrum of skill sets, but I think you can actually lean on the people that are around you that have or that are better in those skill sets to grow a larger mm-hmm. community, because everybody has God-given talents, and mm-hmm. If you get a room of people all with different talents, there's nothing you can't do.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think it's a great point, and a lot of artists find in a way art is a solitary activity in a way, with some people creating it, but I can see the advantages in terms of sharing that information or knowledge, like you said, and in terms of marketing or where to exhibit or how to develop your own creativity as an artist.
Yeah, definitely. I was raised in the theater and in sculpture and in the art fields that I played around in. Yeah, there were definitely like solo type disciplines where you really got to put the work in and you mm-hmm. deal with your own craft in your own way. But a lot of times I found that working in teams was sometimes more challenging, but mm-hmm. sometimes necessary to do mm-hmm. certain things. So like, I was a foundryman, which means I work with, cast metals like iron and aluminum and bronze, and you have to have two or three people when you're doing something like that. You can't do that by yourself, and you have to work as a team. It's not you've got a job and I've got a job and we go back and forth. Like, you're physically moving things together. You're physically, shifting, a crane as a team. So, that kind of cooperative mentality, mm-hmm. that co-working, idea all has to take place at the same time, and you have to build those relationships in mm-hmm. order to be proficient as an artist in some of those mm-hmm. areas.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Danielle, how did you get involved with the group?
Well, actually, just to expound on what Adam was saying, and was one of the draws for me getting involved in the group, is that one of the tenets of the Arts Alliance, which I found so fascinating, was that the like five genres are represented in terms of dance, the visual arts, music, literature, and theater. And so you each have a representative for each of those. And I think that's great because you want to cover your bases. And that was appealing to me. I got involved about, let me think now, maybe four or five years ago. And really didn't, other than that, know as an arts advocacy group, I wasn't really sure what its purpose was. And have seen it really develop and shape and kind of morph into this now resource in Bloomington that's really helpful and progressive, and I'm pretty excited about it.
That's wonderful. And you, of course, just recently have been coordinating a pretty exciting project that's going to unveil at the same time as this other thing we're going to talk about in a second. Talk about the mural project a little, if you don't mind.
Sure. Well, Simon Mall came to us a few months back before we actually left our old space. And, you know, part of the agreement of moving into this other space was they wanted to do something to kind of bring the community in. And that's a real push for them. And understandably so. I mean, malls are almost becoming obsolete. So they've got to do what they can to get people involved. And they asked us about doing a mural. And I had the idea of maybe doing something. They wanted to do something that highlights arts and culture in Bloomington. And so I thought, well, we could do maybe like old school Polaroids, like snapshots of Bloomington. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for people who don't know what a Polaroid is, well, you shouldn't see the mural anyway. But no, I'm just kidding. You find out what a Polaroid is. But it's just people who know what they are. They kind of got a kick out of the nostalgia of it. And so I then thought, well, you know, maybe it's even better if we use, because it's a daunting project to have a 15 by 42 foot wall for one artist to work on, you know? And so I thought, well, you know, we have all these artists. Why don't we go to the artists that we have and say, would you be willing to participate in this? And, you know, try to coordinate it with them. And I worked with Joanne Shank on coordinating with the artists, which was really helpful, and got seven phenomenal artists to work on this project. And we gave them the either an event or a location in Bloomington that is still standing, that is still represented, and that would be kind of an iconic place or moment in Bloomington's history, and even now, you know. And so yeah, that's what the mural project's largely about. And then we, you know, worked on sketches and tried to figure out how to incorporate all the things that are, you know, quintessentially Bloomington, and went from there. And they're big 4x4 Masonite panels that are bolted to the wall. And then, which when the wall eventually comes down, whatever's going beyond that wall, hopefully these artists can have these panels back. And, you know, this isn't the end of that. It's not the end of the life of that piece of art. So.
Sounds great. No, it's a phenomenal undertaking, and nice job with the coordination on that.
Nice job on the panel.
So Adam, going back to you, talk a little bit about the new space then that's going into the mall, the Arts Alliance Center.
Sure. It's larger than our last space, and we've gone through this rebranding and redevelopment. But talking about the space only, it is 4,000 square feet of space. And we are fortunate to have beautiful hardwood floors that run through the majority of it. There's a large front area that will include part reception area, part retail, part point of sale system. We anticipate having plenty. I think at this point, maybe 15 or 16 2D artists have already been approved. We're accepting applications for 3D artists and juring those as we speak. There will be, you know, displays and racks that are on wheels so that we can move things out of the way to create a community area or like a gallery show. We'll have, you know, display items for jewelers, sculptors. And then in the back of the area, or I'd say middle to the back area, there's a more enclosed area that we intend to use as like a performance or a rehearsal type venue. And we're looking for people who are interested in, you know, throwing private events if they become members, or, you know, arts classes, dance classes, theater shows, musical shows. You know, we've talked about doing yoga classes, but really, it, you know, that part of it is what We hope to like charge up for the community space, because we think that'll be a great way to act as that resource, like Danielle said, or multiple other organizations who might not have their own space yet, you know? And so that's how I think we can be, you know, a great space. But we have updated our lighting. We have, you know, fixed up the ceiling tiles. You know, you got to remember, this is a space that was abandoned for a number of years in Simon Mall. So we really had to, you know, put the rubber gloves on and give it a good dusting. You know, we've repainted the space to really make it feel like a gallery environment, to make it feel like a, you know, just like a high-end, you know, gallery space that local artists can feel like they're a part of, you know, and so, like, you know, I think empowers them to put their best foot forward and you know, present the best art that they can. So, you know, it's a little different from our last space where we were just welcoming everybody in. This space where we are being a little more picky, but we think that that will help with like the brand of the space, the look of the space, and ultimately have greater success as far as like the sales go, as well as being able to manage these community events.
And so talk a little bit about, if you could, how, you know, if an artist is interested, you mentioned taking applications for 3D artists. And so what's the process for going through that, you know, and the jury process? And you also mentioned people becoming members. So if you could go into some of that a little more, that'd be great.
So the way that the Arts Alliance works is we have annual membership. You pay a one-time fee and you are with us for the entire year. We, you know, included with that membership, we will update activities and events for, you know, anybody that wants us to promote those things. You'll also get your name as part of the directory that's on our website that we're actually relaunching. And that kind of sets you up as an Arts Alliance of Greater Bloomington member. And then we've got, you know, the space in the mall, which is a separate, you know, resource. And so for something along those lines, I believe we have two tiers. Yeah, if you get accepted, there's either a $40 contribution with some volunteer time every month, or you can pay $80 a month if you don't have any time to volunteer. But the process to get involved with it, we're looking for people who are wanting to use the space either for the venue side or for the retail side or a combination of both. We want you to submit samples of what you're wanting to do in that space, provide photos or a website. And then basically, once we get a handful of applications, there's a jurying committee as part of our space committee. And they meet and go through all the applications together, determine if, you know, the submission is to the standard that we want for the store, then acceptance letters are sent out and we ask those people to bring in things like their artist statement or their bio. You know, we want them to bring in information about the pieces and price them out if they're on the retail side, or bring their own pedestals and make sure everything's like ready to hang. But on the performance side, you know, we want to see that they've taught classes before, that they have a history in education, and that'll help us determine, you know, how many hours we, you know, they are able to use within the space. And that will help with programming and making our space, you know, more inviting to all these different types of mediums.
Wonderful. And Danielle, you've been very involved in the space committee and then the curation aspect and getting this set up. Could you talk about that a little bit more?
Well, sure. There is a curating committee, as Adam alluded to, and I think that it's really important to develop a standard. I think it benefits all the artists. I think the quality of the work is elevated. And honestly, too, I mean, we have to accept and embrace that we are first and foremost in a retail space and the mall and the whole design of it. And then in addition to being a community center, but post-COVID, it's been, you know, we've got to think about new strategies for getting the artist's work out there and you know, displaying it. But yes, I've been working with Abby Zagel and Henry Leck, particularly on, who are both, you know, parts of the Arts Alliance, and they've just been dreams to work with. We've been getting artists work in on the 2D side already, and I just hung some stuff yesterday, in fact, and then, you know, made their cards and worked on everything, and we're just filling the space nicely. It's going to take some time. As Adam said, it's a huge space with a lot of white right now to cover, you know what I mean? And so it's figuring out what balances each other best. And, you know, and like you said, we're taking applications for 3D artists, which is great because we want the space to be full, but we also want it to be user friendly handicap accessible. There's a lot of things to consider in a gallery space to be able to maneuver and negotiate around it. So we're kind of working through that. And we also have some artists that do incredible pieces, like David Reuter, who does great woodworking pieces that are furniture and that need to be on display, not mistaken for something you can put on something on it to display, you know, and so it has to have its own life and kind of figuring out how to balance that. But it's been pretty exciting.
Now, you mentioned the pandemic, and you know, and that's something, you know, for a lot of artists, this has been a really rough time. You know, shows were shut down, a lot of venues that, you know, you were used to displaying your works in weren't open for a long time. And of course, you know, some people had online presence. But talk a little bit about, you know, how this is going to help those artists, you know, kind of reemerge or have some new artists help get them established. It seems like this could be a really wonderful way for people to work together to become more connected with the community.
I think so. I think this is actually a great time. I think people are eager to get back into each other's lives, to get their work out there. I've noticed that a lot of artists took that period during the pandemic and worked since they weren't having show. I mean, there was a lot of things, whether it was out of as a reaction to the pandemic, out of stress, or if it was out of joy or whatever the motivation was at that moment, there's a lot of work that has emerged. And so I think connecting with those artists, letting them know there is a resource for them is the biggest thing, so that they can come out. People who maybe didn't even realize that they wanted to take a class, but during the pandemic realized, okay, I maybe this is something I want to try, you know? And so hopefully the space will be inviting enough to connect people again and welcome them into some form of art.
And so, I think, you know, actually the mall itself is such a great hub. It's super central. You know, not only will I think the foot traffic that already exists in that space will help, you know, bring our brand forward, will bring the Arts Alliance name out into the public, but we technically we're still in this COVID time. I mean, a lot of us have been vaccinated, but, you know, for the people who are still dealing with autoimmune issues or still have concerns, you know, by nature, or like by the whole, you know, idea of what we're doing, we're giving a way for people to get their art into the public without them having to actually be in the public or put that kind of risk onto themselves. You know, we are, you know, going through the process to make sure our space is going to be clean, but it's going to be inviting too, you know. I think, you know, just like I said in general, that this is going to be a great way for people to get their art out of their homes and out of their garages, because they've been cooped up for so long, but they don't necessarily have to be there to represent their own stuff or put themselves in that harm's way.
Like you have to at a festival or something, you know, where you have to peddle it. That's the that's miserable at this time. Yeah.
Right. And people don't have time to do that and make art at the same time. So it's nice to have this opportunity. When you talk about, so the new Arts Alliance Center, you know, talk about where is it in the mall and when is it going to open?
So we are in between like Target and I think it's like TGI Fridays or Ruby's, or I think it's
We're between Dick's and Target, but we're right next to Foot Locker.
And across from Hot Topic. And there's basically, we have an all glass front and these two beautiful tiled blue pillars that are on either side of our doors. And I believe we're doing our reception on the 30th, which is like a members only soft opening. And then on the 31st is our grand opening, where we'll be highlighting the mural that myself and Danielle and all these other people have been a part of. And then when the retail space opens, we'll be like open for business from that point on. And I think we'll be right now, as we get started, we'll be open 3 days a week, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And but as our membership grows, as our collective grows and more people volunteer, we look forward to be able to be open more days of the week. And the venue rental, the community space, those will be open potentially those different days of the week. Especially if they're private lessons, but we're continually working to open this up to the community as much as possible.
Now, you know, as you're talking, and of course you mentioned, you know, putting in the elbow grease and getting the new space up and running. And of course, with any new space, you know, their needs in terms of, you know, lighting, fixtures, different things like that, or, you know, human power in terms of getting up and running. And of course, financial contributions are always welcome. You're a nonprofit. So if people are interested in getting more information or getting involved, can you give us some contact info, like website, Facebook. What's the best way for people to get involved?
Currently, our website is the bloomingtonarts.org, but we are working on a brand new website specifically for the store, which is artsalliancecenter.org. People can also send us private messages. You can send a message to info@bloomingtonarts.org, and it will go across to our different committees so that someone should be able to respond back. Those are probably the easiest ways, but to also see what's going on, if you're on Facebook, we have our Facebook page, both a member page and a public page. We're trying to create all these different ways to connect. So reach out through any of those platforms. And, you know, if you want to volunteer, if you want to donate supplies or some type of funding, you know, obviously all of those things help. We're looking to kind of just keep pushing forward with, community initiatives as best we can. And any type of support is really appreciated.
Mm-hmm. Adam, would you say that it is the Facebook page, though, is probably the quickest way to get to us if they want to see what's going on and then to move forward?
Yeah, I'd say Facebook emails are probably the easiest ways to touch base. You know, our website, since I mentioned one of them, where it's under construction, you know, that might not be the best spot. But I wanted to at least put that out there because we should have that up and rolling pretty soon. And I know listeners might be listening in later than sooner sometimes. So,
yes.
Very good. Well, thank you so much, both of you, for being with us this morning. Good luck with the grand opening. And
you
really appreciate everything that you're doing for arts in the community.
Thanks, Denise.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks for inviting us on.
Yeah, this has been another edition of Watching Bloomington, and we'll see you again next week.
You've been listening to Watching Bloomington with Barry Lesso, brought to you by Carl Lamb, attorney at law. For 37 years, Carl Lamb has been a premier attorney in South Central Indiana, helping his clients through extremely difficult times, drawing on his experience, reputation, and responsiveness. For a free initial consultation, call Carl Lamb today at 812-332-1420. Want more? Listen to full episodes on our website at whcc105.com and wbwb.com.